Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hi, this is Beth Hanischewski, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, good morning. It is Thursday, and here I am out of the lake. It could be a little echoey in this cabin.
Echo.
Cabin. Am I feeling goofy or what? Anyway, checking in. See how you're doing? It is Thursday, which means I am riding solo. And, you know, I was interested. I was reading an article by Mark and Angel Hacklife. Are practical tips for productive living, and it's their blog, and they had this one article called 12 Common Causes and Proven Cures for Unhappiness. 12 Common Causes, and so I thought I'd delve into that a little bit, because it's kind of like both things, and I, you know, I'm going to add my own cures, I think, but I like the direction of the 12 Common Causes, because I think, I agree with what they've written. I think with the cures, I have some of my own thoughts around those, of course, and but I think it's a good article. I think it's well-measured and well-written. So anyway, before we do that, though, we should start with our with a little song. What do you think? And, you know, there's no one better at singing around happiness than this guy. Enjoy.
But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
You gotta be happy, you know. It's so funny, you know. I mean, it keeps coming up on the show, and so it should. You know, what's our end game? You know, what's the end game? What's it all about? You know, and I mean, we never know. You're listening right now. You don't know if this is your last day, your last week, last month, last year, last decade. But I mean, I think if we knew, would we live differently? If we knew when the end was happening? If we said, okay, listen, you know, March 16th. 2019, that's it. I wonder what people would do differently. And some, I think, would just give up. They'd just look at it and go, oh gosh, you know, there's so little time. What's the point? And that's the interesting thing about this article, is this idea that, you know, that we do have choice, and that we can, and that people choose really to see life through one of two lenses. Obviously, there's many, many lenses. But I thought what we'd do is we'll delve in. I just realized how old I'm getting, because I'm having to zoom into this article a little bit more. And so he talks about, or they talk about, lack of meaning in one's day-to-day life is one of the reasons for unhappiness. Lack of meaning in one's day-to-day life. Now, again, there's some of you out there right now. I know you're already on this path. I know, in talking to you, and I keep meeting. I mean, I was just at the eWomen Network conference. I was at the Isagenics celebration. So between those two places, you know, almost 10,000 people. And I had really hundreds and hundreds and hundreds come up to me and talk about the show, and that they're listening, and that they're you know, they're finding it valuable. So, you know, we really want to turn a massive corner this year, and really excited to do so, and really sort of up the ante, as it were. But you know, it's interesting because everyone's, of course, is going in the same direction. And if we said the same direction was ultimate happiness, meaning, purpose, legacy, you know, contribution. I mean, typically everyone I always study, it always comes down to these few things, right? Abraham Lincoln, he says, most people are about as happy as they make their minds up to be. And truly, you know, I mean, you get some people and it's just the lens that they're seeing life through is just always on that one side, you know, which is completely positive, or the other side, which is not, you know, or somewhere trapped in the middle. But as we delve through these, hopefully you're going to be sort of maybe finding one of these steps that you say, oh, yeah, you know, that's me. That's I can get why I could be happier. I could have more meaning. And so a lack of meaning in one's day to day. Franklin D. Roosevelt once said, happiness is not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort. And, you know, what they talk about, you know, in this modern sort of world of sort of 9 to 5, which probably for most people now is more like 9 or 10 hours a day. And if you're commuting, sometimes it's 11. Yeah, a lot of people are trapped into doing what they do not want to do for 40 hours every week. And then when they get home, they're exhausted. So they mindlessly waste their free time being lazy. And, you know, and that's where the television kicks in. You know, it's so much easier to chill than to do something. Yet we know at the end, how many times have you had this happen where you've sat and you've watched TV and you go, oh God, why did I do that? And you crawl back into bed. And I've had that happen to me, you know, and I'm not a big TV guy, but I, you know, sit and watch a crappy movie. And just like, what am I doing? So I understand that feeling. But I like the comparison of, you know, because we know that 73% of people don't like their jobs. And so that's a lot. 3/4 of everyone listening does not like what they're doing. And that's why I spend so much time helping people discover and live their purpose and passion and sort of create vehicles for freedom. You know, because that's the word. The end game is freedom. Imagine, you know, that you had to learn something new and it took 2 or 3 years, and you were to become a professional in an arena that created absolute freedom for you and contribution. That's why I'm so sort of jazzed up, and I've helped a number of you from the show who've actually who've reached out helped you actually sort of on that road, and it's so great. In fact, down in Vegas, you know, there was a few Paula and Karen and Sanj and Chelsea that all came from the show. And we're all on this new path, and it's great to see this new path unfolding. So, you know, so actually understanding that we have a choice, and that, you know, so many people are in jobs they dislike and how they get trapped there. So what's it going to take to be able to escape from that? And truly, it's partly mindset, it's partly community, having a culture or community of transformation where you're sort of not doing it alone. It's having the right vehicle. I mean, there's a lot of things, but I mean, knowing that if you're listening to this show right now, that freedom, absolute freedom, time freedom, financial freedom, you know, emotional freedom, spiritual freedom, all of those things are absolutely a birthright and can be achieved. And then sort of what that allows you to do is step into purpose. And so, but it is a conscious choice. And what a lot of people do is they have, you know, you can't fix a problem with the same mind that created it. And so what a lot of people do, they think themselves out. They'll see a possibility. And I've had people reach out to me on Facebook, and I've shared with them the same thing I did with Sanj and Charles and Paula and Karen and the others that have reached out to me. Lee in Australia, I know he just got on board with us. You know, and they just discount it. You know, it's like, no, you know, it's not for me. I mean, it's not for you. You're looking. And it is definitely, but it's gonna take a new awareness. It's gonna take learning something new. It's gonna take, you know, really challenging old thinking, because our thinking keeps us in that box, and that's what the brain's job is. The brain's job is to keep us trapped in a comfort zone. And not to make us happy and rich, right? So, and it's just interesting that, you know, you feel, oh, yeah, I want something. I'll reach out. I'm looking for a new vehicle. Oh, not that. Instead of saying, well, yeah, you know, why don't I commit to it? Why don't I go? Because obviously, if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm just going to stay unhappy. And that's what ends up happening, right? But it is a commitment. And these guys that have committed and we're working together, I mean, we had so much fun down in Vegas, you know, and really having these people that really want to change their life step into your life. It's so gratifying for me, and you know, and we're becoming great friends, and it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful journey. So, anyway, so that's one. He talks about number two. And by the way, he refers in the article, they talk about the Happiness Project as a great book to read. And there's also Marcy Shymoff. She wrote the book, and she was one of our guests. You can go back and listen to her show. She's a really good friend of mine, and I should get her back on the show. Happy for No Reason. And there's another book called Happiness as well. I mean, there's lots of books out there. You start reading it, and it really gives you some really solid things to work on. So meaning is a really big part. Number two, obsession with past or future. This is so interesting, you know, that so many people are locked in the regret of the past or the fear of the future, or not even just the fear of the future. It's the one day when he shows up, you know, it's when I win the lottery. I mean, my mom's been saying that for her whole life, you know, when I win the lottery. So it's always that future conversation. And not in this present moment, you know, and they talk about Helen Keller once said, when one door of happiness closes, another opens, but often we look so long at the closed door that we do not see the one that's been opened for us. And it's such a good analogy. Helen Keller was so amazing. So, you know, it's that fixation on the wrong points. And that's where I work with a lady in Australia that's really, she's young, Peter. I know you listen to the show, Peter. And she's awesome and young, you know, 23, 24. She's soon to be a millionaire in the next 3 years. But she's, you know, already created a multiple six-figure income. And just igniting the passion of youth. And what we worked on when we were together, I was there last year, and we worked on really being present. And that's what she said to me. She said, Dave, I said, what's shifted? I mean, how have you gone from, you know, being a teacher, she was working in a university, she had a master's. And so she was sort of moving into the teaching profession. How did you get to where you're at right now, where you're igniting people and you're surrounded by people who are following you into a new venture, and, you know, and you're full of purpose? And I saw her on stage three times at Celebration, and remarkable lady. And she said, I just learned at your program. I did a program called the University in Action. And she said, I just learned how to be present with people, how to be right here, right in the moment with them. And she said, and it changed everything. Imagine that simple thing, learning to be present. And it's really challenging. I find it when I'm at an event, you know, I'm rushing somewhere and someone wants to speak. How do you stop everything and get 100% focused on that person, on that conversation? And so they can actually feel you in that moment. And it's easy not to do with at home in our relationships, and especially with these silly machines strapped to our wrist all the time, where it's, you know, it's constantly beeping and buzzing. And that's something, you know, turning your phone off for a few hours a day and not listening to it and not responding to every email as soon as they come in. I mean, talk about allowing you to get more present. I think that's one way that we can do that. Talking about that, you know, it feels like to me that we have gone a long time without any music. And because I'm back in my little hobby studio here, because I haven't moved back in my office, I think this is a good one to listen to. What do you think? Yeah, to the light on the dark black night. It's Bobby McFerrin, by the way, if you're wondering. So good with his voice. It's so much fun with that. All right. So number three is feeling out of shape. And and unhealthy. And I think this is something we see a lot. And again, you know, we've helped a lot of people, you know, lose 100 pounds, 200 pounds, 300 pounds. Imagine being 300 pounds overweight. But not just that, but just get back into health, you know, feeling healthy and alive and vibrant, having your energy back. And that's something that you really have to understand. You know, what's going on in the world today is it's very toxic. You know, every time a plane flies over, I always think about the residue of that plane, you know, the gasoline that's falling on the crops, that's falling into our foods, falling into our lakes and our water. You know, and I mean, it's just that we're incredibly toxic. And that's why, you know, I'm a regular cleanser. Some people call it fasting or whatever, right? But, you know, and to be able to clean out the impurities. And thin people, you know, they store all their toxins in their organs, whereas, you know, heavy people, they'll store it in the fat around their organs. But it's not the fat, it's the visceral fat. It's the actual fat around the organ itself. And so it's really, you know, I've been committed to, you know, to using and complementing my body with supplements for almost a decade. And it's just necessary when you understand that, you know, you go into a supermarket. This is hilarious. You go into a supermarket, you buy an apple, you put it in the fridge, and, you know, 3 weeks later, it looks exactly the same. You know, you go into an organic supermarket, you buy an apple, it already looks like it's been bruised around. I think you put it in the fridge and 3 days later, it's all shriveled up, right? And, you know, and just our food. I mean, I worked in a banana plantation in Israel, and, you know, and we would pick these things green so they weren't sun ripened. We'd pick them so that they could be shipped and then they'd be artificially ripened. And that's the thing. And, you know, you've just got to cut a tomato open and bite into it, one that's grown on the vine that, you know, grown. We have a tomato plant right outside the door here. Or buy one in the supermarket. And, you know, it's, what's funny is close your eyes and pick up the tomatoes. And there's always five. If you go to the vine ripened ones, there's always five on every bunch because it's GM'd, right? It's genetically modified. But it's just the taste is gone, right? And the studies are showing that, you know, the same nutritional value of a bowl of spinach, you need 22 bowls of spinach today to get the same value as when I was born in 61. So, you know, but that whole taking responsibility for our health and how great you feel when you're healthy. And I feel I'm probably as unhealthy as I've been in a long time because I've been traveling a lot and I've used that as an excuse. But Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Body, is a great read. He's been on the show. And again, if you want to listen to his show, that'd be awesome. Unfavorably comparing oneself to others. This whole idea about comparison is really interesting, but, you know, so many of us do it. And I always say be inspired up and compare down. And I think it's a great habit to get into is to comparing down. You know, look at the kids in Egypt who live in the garbage dump. Look at the you know, people in countries where they have no rights. Look at look at the oppression in certain areas, or look at people in your own town, in your own village, who aren't doing as well as you, and look at, and that allows you to be grateful. And really, gratitude is the thing that will launch pad us to the next thing, being grateful for everything we have. It doesn't matter how little it is. There's a lot of people that have less, always. There's always people that have less or have different situations. And then be inspired by up. Instead of looking up and going, oh, look, I'm not as pretty as her, or I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the other. It's truly one of those things about, you know, this comparing, competing world. And especially for women, I work so much with women. And I'm really excited about my new program coming out, The Transformed Woman, which is coming out in February. And, you know, really allowing us I want to create the greatest woman's transformational program that's ever been created on the planet Earth, 5-day program. And, you know, transformation is all about immersion. So that's pretty exciting. So number four, unfavorably comparing oneself to others. Okay. Number five, focusing on the negatives. And this is interesting because they talk a little bit, you know, about focus. And we understand that focus is really everything. Our life is about focus. And excuse these noises in the background. I'm in this temporary office and there's a refrigerator in the back, in the kitchen of this cabin I'm in. And it just suddenly kicked in with the, so it's like, whoa. You may not be able to hear it, but I can hear it. Anyway, you know, how people sort of like, you know, oh, they were in an accident. It's like, I almost died today. No, you didn't. You're in an accident. You're walking around. But is that sort of way that we interpret the world? It's like the lens that we see it through. I almost died today. What a statement. And I always try and correct. No, you didn't. I said you were in an accident. You didn't die at all. Look, there's not even a scratch on you. But it's that whole mindset of, yeah, but you know, if that had been 6 inches over and that car had been traveling 80 miles further and I'd been on the edge of a cliff, I would have died. It's like, well, why do that to ourselves? But a lot of people do. And I've done this before on the show, where imagine a whiteboard full of all the most positive things in the world, you know, love and friendship and passion and you know, and freedom and all these, think of all the powerful words, and then draw a great big black dot in the middle. And the black dot represents negativity of any kind. And what most people do, and with that big board of possibility, is they put their nose right on the black dot and they're like, how you doing? Oh, I'm all right. Yeah. All right, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's fine, right? That is so such a crazy way to live, but so many people do it. And I listen, I hear it coming out of people's mouths all the time. And in the article, they say, you know, did you catch a head cold? At least it's only temporary virus and nothing life threatening. You know, two ways to look at it. You know, was a head cold or it's just a little temporary virus, nothing life threatening. And you know, Jen will tell you this, that so often, you know, if I feel something coming on, I mean, Jen was really sick last week and we've been traveling, you know, so you're going in air conditioning for 2 weeks. It's like, oh my goodness me, right? Because you're in the States, in Dallas and Las Vegas. But watching her get sick and then really having to meditate on not going there and really allowing myself to heal, you know, because I could feel it coming on, right? And being able to do that is the power of our positive thinking is just can't be underestimated. But the one negative thought, and I demonstrated this on stage to 10,000 people in two different events, what the power of one negative thought is, and absolutely just thinking one negative thought, how it just sucks the power out of our body. And so that is something where, again, we really have to be very, very careful of, is that, you know, don't allow ourselves to start to make up even more of a negative story. Is any negative story, any negative thought, I mean, a good way to think about it is nothing lives in our head rent-free. Nothing. No thought lives rent free. It's a positive thought. It's gonna empower you. If it's a negative thought, it's gonna take away your power, your personal power. And so, really, really understand that. You know, no negative thought can live in there. And there's no point when something happens to exaggerate it. To say, well, what if? I mean, why not just say, oh my goodness, I was in an accident and I didn't get hurt at all, or I just got a little tiny whiplash. It was awesome. You know, whatever, right? I mean, it's just a different way of thinking about it. And recovery and health is so much about how we think. I mean, I think people think themselves into sickness. I mean, there's so many people who are sick all the time. And if you're one of those people that are constantly sick, throw away the medicine chest in your house. I don't have one. I have two kids. I don't have any medicine in my house. I mean, why would I have that? Just get ready for when it comes and start throwing stuff in our body. And again, I'm sounding a bit righteous. I don't mean to, but anyway, number six, they talk about avoiding personal accountability. Either you take accountability for your life or someone else will. And when they do, you'll become a slave to their ideas and dreams instead of a pioneer of your own. You are the only one who can directly control the outcome of your life. And no, it won't always be easy. Every person has a stack of obstacles in front of them. You must take accountability for your situation, overcome these obstacles. Choosing not to is choosing life of a mere existence. And, you know, I mean, the way I always say it, and this is what they said, what I say is, you know, you take 100% responsibility for everything in your life. 100% responsibility for everything not in your life. And there's no one left to blame. And if you just gave up blaming, complaining, and justifying for 90 days, your life will change. Blaming, complaining, and justifying for 90 days, your life will change. Absolutely. And number seven, perfectionism or fear of failure. You know, two different things, but, you know, it's the whole perfect thing. You know what it's like, how exhausting it is for you perfectionists out there. And I deal with a lot of them in my programs, you know, and it's like, you know, everything has to be perfect. And it's really, you know, when you look in the mirror, you know, that clean house and how many times the toilet's cleaned and whether you vacuum under the cushions and all the different things that you have to do each day and the garden being perfect, the house looks perfect. I mean, it's exhausting and the car is completely clean and whatever, right? But I don't meet very, very, very happy perfectionists. I just don't. I meet somebody that's so hard on themselves and all of those things have meaning. And because of that meaning, you know, it's never, because it's always going to get dirty again. And I always say, just take a week off, you know, just don't tidy up the house for a whole week. And, you know, don't put any makeup on for a day and just go outside and see if anyone else notices. And you'll find out they won't, you know, wear dirty underwear. Oh my God, I can hear them all screaming now. No, don't say that thought. That's disgusting. You know, but the truth is like, you know, take a day off, see what happens. And, you know, just think differently. And with that, we should have a little music. Oh.
Oh, baby, I'm thinking about your face. Oh, baby, I'm thinking about your body. Thinking about your face. But I'm booty. You're the only one.
It's amazing how he does that all with his own voice. So, anyway, so perfectionism, you know, take 100% responsibility and, you know, really allow yourself to take some time off. And you know who I'm talking about. If you're a perfectionist, you know how exhausting it all is, right? Number eight, low self-esteem. You know, and I'm telling you, of the hundreds of thousands of people I've trained, I'm telling you, this is it right here. It's the number one thing, you know, and really why personal growth and investing in yourself is so important. And you know, this idea that it's, you know, it's just you. I mean, I had a woman stand up. I did a breakout session at eWomen Network, and we talked about that. What's the story she's telling herself? Because remember, you're going to tell yourself a story anyway. And it doesn't matter what story you tell yourself. It's going to be the one you live into. And I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. It's kind of where a lot of people end up. And that's where the unhappiness, really, the seed of it, the deep seed of it. And that's where, you know, we really have to reprogram ourselves and why personal growth is so important and why good stuff in, you know, reading good stuff, hanging around good people and rebuilding that in a sort of picture of ourselves. And I've done it to my own kids. I mean, it comes, you know, from the very earliest of age. I mean, I see how these seeds of doubt start coming into to people very, very young. And some it's like 2 and 3 and 4. But over a lifetime, it's very, very easy to paint a picture and to create a new highway in our brains, a super highway of self-doubt. And it's the one thing, one little seed of self-doubt is enough to stop people moving forward, right? So he talks about in the article, he said, very little is needed to make a happy life. It is all within yourself in the way you're thinking. He says, boost your self-esteem by recognizing your accomplishments and celebrating them. Acknowledge your positive qualities. And when you come across a quality in yourself that you aren't proud of, don't sulk in your sorrows. Proactively work on correcting it. So, you know, but I really think that this is one of those great big ones that we really need to understand. Is so detrimental, that little seed, you know, that little whisper in the back of our mind, and we've got to challenge it. I always talk to people about the imposter, that negative voice in our head. Give it a name, a funny, silly name, and then catch it at its work when it's saying something small or doubtful about you. Catch it and say the opposite and take a step. Catch it and say the opposite and take a step, because you're going to make up a story. Either you're not good enough or you're more than enough. And you might as well make up one that's going to support you, and that's one of the number one things. You know, again, you add these things up and they adds to a formula, right? And we only got 3 minutes left and I've got three to go. Oh my gosh. Financial debt. You know, it's one of those things, right? Financial, this is something you learn from your parents, you learn from your environment. I mean, most of us are taught money by broke people, broke teachers, people who are just, you know, who are working month to month are our teachers. They're ones we spend years and years and years at school learning from, and often broke parents. money is something you have to learn, and it's not hard to learn. You know, The Millionaire Next Door, or, you know, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, T.R. Vaca, the guy I worked with for 3 years. You know, there's lots of things you can do, but most of you just need to simplify your life. Stop living up to the expectations of others and the Joneses, you know, and invest in you. You're the number one investment. This is the one thing I can't get through to people's heads. If you took 10% of your income and just invested in personal growth, every year you did some programs that grew and expanded you and put you in an environment of transformation, it would change everything. And that's what, you know, you can't fix a problem with the same mind that created it. So here you are, you know, you've grown up with a broke mentality by broke people, and you wonder why you're broke, you know. And so many people are living in great houses with great cars who are just one paycheck away from being completely broke or bankrupt, you know. So, you know, we have to understand that we have a blueprint. You know, our thoughts, feelings, and actions around money is our financial blueprint. And that can be changed. But you're always going to carry some of these things, you know. I mean, whether you're a spender, whether you're a saver, whether you're an avoider, or whether you're a monk, a money monk, you know, four primary money personalities, you know, you have a way of being with money. And some people, it doesn't matter, they make $1 million a year, they're still broke. And I see that all the time. I've helped people become millionaires and make $1 million a year, but they still struggle financially. So, you know, they've got to work on the inner game of money. You know, our inner game, our inner world creates our outer world. You know, it's the roots, not the fruits. It's not the house you're in or the car you're driving. That's why I drive an 8-year-old car. I don't give a crap, but I have a great life. And, you know, and making sure you pay yourself first. I mean, there's some real principles around that, but most of it, you know, people mix up their home as an asset, and quite often it's not an asset. It's a detriment, you know, and you know, when time you add up your car payment and your mortgage, most people don't have any money left, you know? So again, there is definitely new ways to see money. And I do teach programs around money, but you know, that's one. Number 10, all work and no play makes Jill a dull girl or Jack a dull boy. And, you know, fun is underrated. With all our responsibility, fun seems like an indulgence. And that's what they say. And it shouldn't be, you know. This is where, you know, getting together, like, you know, just for no reason with your friends. Like, we're looking for getting friends together this weekend. For no reason, just because we know it's part of our thing. And we go from one fun thing to the next, and we work. But you see, you know, that's the thing. When you get into your room, you're tired after being on stage, you know, still getting up and going to a show, you know, or going up with friends. I mean, friends, it doesn't cost you anything. We sat up and played cards night before last, and then we sat up and played backgammon. And last night, we just hung out on the deck with Mike and Donna and just chatted until almost midnight. But, you know, making fun all the time is really, really important. And number 11 talks about neglecting personal relationships. He says the quality of our personal relationship correlates directly with our overall sense of worth and happiness. Sometimes in the midst of life's chaos, we forget to do the things that remind us we're part of something greater than ourselves. We need a certain amount of meaningful contact with other people to feel fully alive. Make time for people, even if it's just a quick meal or lunchtime. It's worth sacrificing a few minutes here and there to experience life's outside your own inner bubble. And remember, you don't need a certain number of friends, just a number of friends that you will be certain of. Good language, eh? So that's something that, again, you know, this, it does take work. But I mean, that's why I like throwing parties, you know, and I want to throw a huge one for New Year's. I've just started letting people know I'm going to throw a huge New Year's Eve party. But I just know that, I mean, it takes effort, it takes expense, it takes all these things if you throw a big party like I do. But just hanging out, like on the dock last night, cost nothing. Or the night before, just sitting playing cards doesn't cost anything. It's just that combination of understanding that friendship, at the end of the day, you know, when you're, you know, 9/11, when those planes will go into the buildings, what do people do? They phone the people they love and say, I love you, right? So number 12, procrastination. You know, the procrastinators meeting has been postponed. and, you know, a lot of it is this, you know, is you know, this idea that, you know, people are procrastinating themselves out of their next step. You know, and sometimes you just have to do both. You know, you have to, you know, you've got a job and you're working hard. And, you know, if you want to create freedom, you're going to have to do it on the side of that. You know, you can't just leave what you're doing. You've got to find a way to create the life of your dreams. And procrastinating is so much, it's so unhealthy. But so many people are getting ready to get ready to get ready. And I did a whole show on that, you know, ready, aim, Ready, fire, aim. But with saying that, you know, I'm just going to throw another song on and then we'll wrap this puppy up. I'm a little bit long, but you know what? I'm a long-winded person this morning. Here we go.
I can show you a better time. Baby, drive my car. Yes, I'm going to be a star. Baby, drive my car. Baby, I love you. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, oh, oh.
A wonderful Bobby McFerrin, everyone, if you want to find out who it is. So anyway, as we wrap this puppy up, you know, I want you to sort of just be thinking really about some of these steps, you know, and maybe one of them was just for you. Because remember, I always think it's about changing one thing. It's not about changing everything. It's about finding one of those things. What is it for you? I mean, if we do a quick recap, ladies and gentlemen, here we are for the Kick-Ass Life recap. Lack of meaning in one's day-to-day life. Number two, obsession with the past or future. Number three, feeling out of shape or unhealthy. Number four, unfavorably comparing oneself to others. Number five, focusing on negatives. Number six, avoiding personal accountability. Number seven, perfectionism and fear of failure. I'm sorry. Number eight, a low self-esteem. Number nine, financial debt. No, no, none of that. Number 10, all work and no play. And number 11, neglecting personal relationships. And last of all, number 12, procrastination. So anyway, I want you to really think about those today. Is there one of those that you can sort of attack? And remember what I said, you know, I've talked about it a lot on the show. Don't blame, don't justify, don't complain. Simplify your life, ladies and gentlemen. To lead a kick-ass life is simple. You don't need the trappings of wealth, you know, have less and let that money work for you. Remember, it's not the amount of money you make, it's the amount of money you keep. And it's not how you look on the outside, it's how you feel on the inside. And most of you are going to invest more on the outside of your body, your car, your clothing, your coffee, your makeup, your hair than you'll ever do on the inside. And the number one thing to change for me is that investment in self. So hopefully you've heard something here today that you've enjoyed, and I definitely will see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.